Come on, Buck. It's getting late. And I'm sure Mr. Whitaker would like his office back.
I'm sorry, Detective Polehouse. I've told you everything I can.
Which isn't much of anything. Maybe I should relocate this discussion downtown.
But I don't know anything about any counterfeit money in a backpack. Or a green ring. Or why Mr. Skint wanted me to find that Appleberry phone. Or who hit Agent Whitaker in the head and took him. I was at the carnival to enjoy myself. I'm just a kid.
Yeah, you got a kid's body, but the grown-up mind of a criminal genius. I've got a partial fingerprint of yours on the money in the backpack.
That's not possible, sir. I didn't touch any money.
You touched the plastic wrap that covered the money.
I touch a lot of plastic wrap. We use it to protect some of the equipment, okay? And for the sandwiches I make for my lunch.
Somebody used that wrap for the money, then wiped it clean. Apart from your print. Maybe Mr. Skint did that to put the blame on you.
Mr. Skint wouldn't do that.
Oh, your loyalty to Skint is touching. But if you're as innocent as you want me to believe, then it makes Mr. Skint look pretty bad to let you take the fall for everything. You have to feel betrayed.
I...
Tell me about the compound where you live. A truck showed up there this afternoon. What was it picking up?
I was here. But it might have been loading stuff up for the carnival auction tomorrow. We have a storage area with a lot of equipment in it.
Yeah, I saw that earlier. I got a little tour of the compound thanks to a man named Dosh. It was a big barn filled with a lot of nothing.
I don't know anything about that.
Come in.
Detective Polehouse, may I have a word with you?
Sure. Buck, when I get back, I want to talk about the printing equipment you dropped off at Hagler's Junkyard.
It was old. We were told to get rid of it. That's all there is.
Don't move. What's up?
You know the law better than I do, but you've had Buck in there for quite a while, without his guardian or a lawyer.
We're just having a friendly chat.
But you want to be careful that your chat doesn't get thrown out of court because you weren't mindful of Buck's rights as a minor.
What are you, a lawyer?
I'm worried about him, that's all.
Got it. Thanks. I'll let him go in a minute.
You will? That's very compassionate of you.
Compassionate? Nothing. If I let him go, he might lead us to Mr. Skint.
Oh.
Look, this is not a kid you want to get attached to.
No, of course not.
Eugene? Hmm? Oh, I thought Matthew was down here with you.
Oh, it's late, so I sent him home.
How's it going with the appleberry?
Well, appleberries are known for their sturdiness, but I'm afraid the damage is rather substantial. I wonder why Buck tried to destroy it.
And to keep us from seeing what's on it.
Now, you said it belongs to someone named Dirk Beggs?
Dirk was the third victim on the crashed aeroplane. He's working with the counterfeiters.
And what does he have to say about all this?
Well, we don't know. He's in a coma in the hospital, which is where I'm headed.
For a coma or to the hospital?
To the hospital. Monty is there again. This time he needs to stay in until he's recovered.
Is it serious?
Oh, I don't think it's life-threatening. Oh, I should have insisted that he go back.
Mr. Whitaker, the events of the past couple of days are unprecedented. The protocol doesn't seem to exist for what we're facing.
True. I talked to Detective Polehouse.
Oh?
He'd appreciate it if you do what you can with the appleberry.
Not as police technicians?
He's doubtful that they'll be as thorough as you, if you don't mind.
Well, of course not. No, Mr. Whitaker, I have a strong sense that, well, to use conventional phrasing, the bad guys are running circles around us.
Yeah, well, it feels that way. But this isn't over yet. There are pieces to this puzzle that might still fall into place for us. Only God knows where those pieces are and who holds them.
Did you know that your doorbell rings outside?
Oh, sure. That way people will know it's working. Otherwise, you push the button and it rings somewhere way back in the house and you can't even hear whether or not it rang at all. This way you know.
But how did you hear it inside?
I didn't. I heard you knock.
But, never mind.
Okay.
Do you have a minute to talk?
Oh, I have more than a minute. Would you like to sit on my porch swing? You know, I made it out of a trampoline. If you swing just right, you could wind up in the Volkheimer's rhododendron bushes.
How about we just sit quietly?
Oh, we could do that, too.
Okay. Whoa. Well, I talked to Penny this afternoon.
Oh, is that why she wouldn't answer her phone when I tried to call?
Well, she probably forgot to turn the ringer on after our meeting with Dr. Trask.
Oh, I was worried.
You're still in the anxiety phase of the relationship,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, that would probably explain why I don't have any fingernails left.
Anyway.
Okay, you can be honest, Connie. You came all the way to my house because it's bad news, isn't it? She doesn't want to see me again, does she?
Why do you think that?
Well, because after she wouldn't answer her phone, I sent her a text message about doing something tomorrow, and she finally wrote back only a few minutes ago and said she couldn't because she was busy with something else. It's over, isn't it?
Oh, it's not over, Wooten. I'm the something else tomorrow. We're going hiking up at Trickle Lake.
Hiking? That's perfect.
It is? Why?
Because we could have a picnic together. It'll be a surprise. Montague's Point. You could lead her there with nonchalance or any other French pastry you want to bring. And I'll be there with baskets of food and blankets and stuff. Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah, it does. But, Wooten, I'm concerned.
Oh, you don't have to worry about bringing anything. I will arrange it all, including the licorice. You just be there at noon.
But we had this meeting this afternoon, and...
Oh, and the raspberry sodas. I have to remember the raspberry sodas. Wooten has to make a list.
That sounds great.
Woohoo! It's a plan!
Yes.
Okay, now swing hard. It's rhododendron time!
Okay, Buck. That's about it for now.
Really? I can go?
Yep. But I want you and Mr. Skint at the police station tomorrow morning at 10.
Yes, sir.
Officer Hardwick is waiting for you just outside. He'll take you wherever you need to go.
Thanks. So, that's it? I can leave?
You sure can.
Okay. See you tomorrow, Detective. Oh, hi, Miss Katrina. I guess I'm okay to go. Good night.
Good night, Buck. Are you really finished with him, Detective?
Nope. I'm supposed to meet with him and Mr. Skint tomorrow morning.
Do you really believe they'll show up?
Nope. In fact, I'll be surprised if he gets as far as Officer Hardwick's police car.
Then what's your plan?
I've got men all over this area. Whichever way Buck goes, they'll follow.
He's a shrewd young man.
I'm going to hope the collective intelligence of my trained officers can deal with a single 14-year-old.
What do you mean you lost him? How could you lose him? I don't want to hear your excuses. Find him! I've got the Three Stooges, the Marx Brothers, and the Keystone Cops all rolled up into one unit.
As I said before, he's shrewd.
I assume he's going back to Mr. Skint.
Which would be helpful if we knew where Skint is hiding. He's not at the compound. Oh, I seem to lose my suspects just as fast as I find them. Martin! Where are you?
Oh, this isn't going well at all.
Mr. Whittaker, I was... Katrina? I thought you went home ages ago.
Are you going to work on that appleberry all night?
No, he's not. Both of you should go home. It's what I'm going to do. Excuse me while I lock up.
You know, you really should go home, Katrina. One of us should sleep.
I won't sleep.
Why not?
Buck has run off. I intend to find him.
Well, what if he doesn't wish to be found? You know, it is possible that he isn't under the influence of Mr. Skint, but a willing accomplice.
I'd like to prove that.
Unless you have resources the police don't, I suspect you won't be seeing him again.
I'll see him, one way or another.
Mr. Skint, where are you?
I'm here, my boy. Are you all right? They didn't follow you?
Are you kidding? I lost them without even trying.
Let me look at you.
See? No harm done.
You figured out my message. I knew you would. You remembered how we did it in Detroit.
Oh, I remember.
And the word bait.
Oh, fishing, Trickle Lake, and I figured Doc C, since this is where the whole thing started.
You're a clever lad, my boy. Yeah. They didn't question you too hard, did they?
Nope. They tried all the different tricks. But I was wise. I did like you always said. I stayed as close to the truth as possible, agreeing with whatever they already know, but admitting to nothing else.
Excellent. Excellent.
Excellent? Did I hear you utter the word excellent in the midst of your little fiasco?
Mr. Hagler, I'm surprised you came.
Why? Didn't you send a message for me to meet you here?
Oh, I did, but I thought because of the banquet.
The banquet ended! Now, Mr. Skinter, am I wrong to say that here we are on the eve of a most remarkable enterprise, and you're endangering the whole affair with your incompetence?
Oh, I am not, sir. Everything is going according to plan.
You may think so, but our benefactor is not happy.
Oh, these are minor inconveniences. By this time tomorrow, we'll all be laughing about them, won't we, Buck?
Yes, sir, all the way to the bank.
Well, you had better be right. The alternative is, of course, crying oneself all the way to jail. In the meantime, clean yourself up. Hmm? It's time to get rid of your hillbilly look. Ditch my pickup truck. It's a red flag. Use the car.
Yes, sir.
And I wouldn't advise that you stay at the compound tonight. Use one of the trailers at the carnival.
Do you really think that's necessary?
Something is at play here, and I don't like it. This phone of Dirk Beggs, for example.
I trashed it pretty good.
And we must consider our meddlesome friends, the two Whittakers and that detective Pullhouse.
Yes, what can we do about them?
Get them out of the way, by whatever means necessary. Do you understand? I expect you to do whatever it takes.
Eugene?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Whittaker.
Well, you've got an early start.
Indeed. Did you see Monty at the hospital?
Well, I peeked in. He was sleeping, and I didn't want to bother him. Mm. It gave me time to think and pray. How's it going with this contraption?
And the appleberry? Well, I've found fragments of text messages. Most are mundane bits of communication, but there is one here with a series of numbers. They were strangely familiar, and then I remembered they were like the numbers we found on a sheet of paper in the backpack.
That's interesting.
Indeed.
I'm going to see Detective Pullhouse now, and we'll get those numbers to you.
Well, it could be nothing.
Or it could be something. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I've decided to close the shop for the day. I think we're going to need our full concentration on the tasks at hand.
What tasks, Mr. Whittaker?
Oh, good morning, Matthew.
Oh, good morning. Oh, I'm here, too.
Good morning, Emily.
Hi.
Hi. I can't believe I missed all the excitement yesterday. If you weren't so worried about being embarrassed,
well,
then you would have been here.
Be when you're huffing and puffing about all your secret...
Investigative research.
Investigative research?
Well, the tasks I mentioned. You see, I had an idea last night. If the Green Ring had been operating out of Odyssey for a long time, well, then maybe there's some history, connecting points, to help figure out who is involved.
Well, we know that, don't we? Archie Hagler and Mr. Skint.
And Buck.
Well, we're still missing someone. The man behind the scenes who actually made all that counterfeit money locally.
Hmm.
There might be something in the newspaper archives at the library.
Oh, Matthew and I can do that.
Huh?
Unless Eugene needs my help here.
Oh, I believe I can survive alone.
Wits End can be our own operation central.
Okay.
Mr. Whittaker, do you think we'll be that central to this operation?
Absolutely.
In that case, I propose we use our new communication devices.
Aha! The earphone.
Earphone?
Mr. Whittaker and I developed it for use in the shop, though we have yet to use it.
Yeah, well, we've been a little distracted.
They fit in your ear and work like a walkie-talkie, up to a 30-mile radius. We can speak with one another on our own frequency.
That's impressive.
I'll go get them.
Mr. Whittaker? Is Buck really in trouble?
Well, it looks like he's somehow connected to the people behind that counterfeit money.
On purpose, or did he get fooled into it?
I don't know, Emily.
Well, I'm worried about him. I mean, in spite of it all, I don't want to believe that, well, you know.
Yeah, I know. We want to trust people, but it's hard when we find out we can't.
But it's worse than that. I trusted him, and he used my trust for his lies.
And for that, we should pray for him. And for us.
For us?
That God will give us the grace to forgive.
Mm. I keep imagining him running through the woods, sleeping under leaves, scared and lonely, like a wanted fugitive. It must be terrible for him.
Buck. Hey, wake up, lad. Breakfast is on the table.
Just give me another...
Oh, come on.
Whoa!
Now, calm down, boy. It's me, your own Mr. Skint.
But you shaved and cut your hair and... Mm-hmm. You're wearing a tie.
It's time to play the professional. Besides, you've seen me like this before. Now, up and at 'em. We have a lot of work to do.
Well, look, Mr. Skint, I was awake half the night thinking.
That's a good thing.
I want to get out of here.
That's a bad thing. We can't leave now.
I don't like what Mr. Archie said last night about Hurd and Mr. Whittaker and the others.
Oh, don't take that too seriously.
In all our days, I never heard talk like that. I won't hurt them. These are good people.
Well, this isn't about good people or bad people, Buck. I thought you knew that.
Then what is it about?
Well, doing what it takes to survive. Looking out for yourself, first and foremost. Everybody lives that way. The smart ones profit by it, like us.
But that's not how they live here. Haven't you noticed that the reason we've had so much trouble is because people care?
Buck, this is no time to get soft.
I'm only saying that it's one thing to make some money, and it's another thing to hurt someone while we do it.
Let's hope it won't come to that.
And if it does, I won't do it.
Not even to protect me?
If I got arrested last night and wound up in jail, would you have come to get me?
What kind of question is that? I'd have taken care of you.
If it meant getting yourself caught, would you risk yourself to save me?
Don't be so foolish. Now get up and get dressed. Everything we've worked towards happens today.
Okay, team. We've had our share of mess-ups, but today we have to be at our best. We've got representatives from some of the biggest crime outfits in the country, and they're here to smuggle out millions of counterfeit dollars. We believe they'll use the auction and the carnival equipment as the means to do it. So keep your eyes open. Watch any and all trucks leaving the area. It's that simple. And remember this. It's the curse of overly ambitious criminals to get arrogant and make mistakes. Between our best and their worst, we should catch them. Well, that wasn't Shakespeare's Henry V, but it'll have to do. All right, take your positions around the carnival site. Report anything and everything, no matter how unusual. Let's go, and be careful out there.
Oh, here you are. I was waiting for you in your office.
It wasn't there.
Yeah, well, I noticed. But I found something interesting anyway.
In my office?
Uh-huh.
That hasn't happened for years. This I have to see. So, what's the revelation in my office?
I was looking over the inventory from the backpack of money. There was a sheet with a variety of numbers on it. Did you ever figure out what it was?
No. Why?
Eugene unscrambled a set of similar numbers on Dirk Begg's Appleberry.
Uh-huh.
I called him, and they match.
Well, what do they mean?
Well, that's what I've asked Eugene to find out. I was also thinking about the truck at the compound. Did you check the various traffic cameras around town to see where it went?
For once, we're a step ahead of you. I had Martin check them last night.
And what did you find?
Well, come in.
Detective Polhouse.
Martin. Just the person I wanted to yell at. The truck from the compound? The traffic cameras?
Right. Well, there aren't any cameras near the compound, but we picked up the truck as it got closer to the city. It came in on Highway 24 and Bellflower, then through town and out to the site of Uncle Archie's carnival. And it made two stops.
Where?
The Burger World Drive-In there on Bellflower, and, let's see... Trickle Lake Concrete, which is right across the street.
Why would it stop at Trickle Lake Concrete?
That's on my list to find out. We've been busy, as you know.
We're not busy enough. That auction starts in less than an hour. We need a break in the case. We've missed something.
Oh, that's the other reason I came in. The old Ross compound.
Yes?
I checked with the Office of Records. The property is owned by something called the Consolidated Arts Company.
And what is that?
It's the same company that owns the carnival.
So Archie pays himself rent every month. Big deal. Get me more, Martin. We don't have time to chase down every rabbit trail. Come on, it's time to go to the auction.
Yes, sir.
Detective Martin, I can ask my crack investigative team to check into the Consolidated Arts Company.
Crack investigative team? And who are they?
Okay, let's test these earphones.
How do we make them work?
Like Eugene said, just push the button on the top.
Like this?
Ow, not so loud. Let me try. Hello? Eugene? Are you there?
I am, Matthew. Have you reached the library?
Yeah, we're going up to the newspapers and periodicals section, like you said.
But where do you think we should start?
You're the super sleuth. Where do you think?
I think we should begin with any cases of counterfeiting connected to the area over the past 40 years.
That's an excellent idea. Let me know what you find. Signing off.
He called me a super sleuth.
Sometimes you are, Emily.
Wait, was that a compliment, Matthew?
The library database is over here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, creme brulee would be nice. Enter! Ah, Mr. Stiletto, I'm so glad you could make it.
Yeah, well, I got your message. Aren't you supposed to be starting the auction, though?
Imminently, sir, imminently. But as it is, we need to come to a new understanding.
Hey, don't play games with me here.
No need to be suspicious. You have served Mr. Grote well by bringing together a vast network of, experienced counterfeiters. A superb job, yes. An excellent accomplishment.
Look, I'm not interested in your affirmation.
Now, the network has arrived. The plan is in motion. And your services are no longer needed.
Oh, is that right? So I'm being fired by a carnival huckster?
Name-calling is beneath you, sir. But no matter. There'll be time for apologies later. Do come in.
Yeah, it's me, boss.
Oh, hello, Bert. Frederick. The deed done?
Yes, sir.
What deed? What's this all about, Archie?
It's about my men taking care of your men, even as we speak. And while they're busy elsewhere, you will make your exit from here.
What exit?
You know what to do, boys. Oh, how I wish I'd invented duct tape. Oh, and Velcro. Oh, and the thermos.
Put your hands down.
You're not taping me up.
Don't move, sir.
Give me a good reason not to.
Well, this pistol can give you 6 reasons.
All right, good reasons. Where are you taking me?
There's someone who wants to meet with you.
Yeah, who's that?
Mr. Grote himself. And I don't believe he's very happy with you. And his unhappiness tends to make for a rather, painful encounter for anyone in his vicinity. Take him out to the van, Bert. Be sure to blindfold him.
You got it, sir.
And you took care of that other matter?
The engraving plates, right?
Quiet, imbecile.
Oh, yeah. I did just like you said. They're safe and sound at TLC.
All right. Go!
Get moving, buddy. Let's go.
You're not getting away with this, Archie. Double crosses usually wind up double crossed.
Yes, well, we'll see, won't we?
Hey, watch your step.
Some people are okay with hurting others if it helps themselves. But in today's episode, Buck noticed that Whit, Katrina, and the others at Whit's End were different. He said that they were good people who really care. And even though Buck appears to be guilty of a lot of things, Katrina is determined to believe that he's capable of being a better person. The folks at Whit's End are showing a lot of love in how they're responding to the evil around them. Even while working for justice and truth, they're reaching out in the belief that God can bring even the worst of people into His love and grace. The question is, will any of these people involved in the Green Ring conspiracy see that love and respond to it? I guess we'll find out soon in the remaining 2 adventures. Today's program is a presentation of Focus on the Family. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.